And as far as we know, he never wrote a book. He never wrote anything. He never ran for any sort of office. And he espoused the limelight. He refused to be what others wanted him to be. And he was not great on ceremony or ritual. He was a Jew, and he went through all the rituals that Jews went through, but he never did really much else apart from that. But in Luke 22, he tells us to do communion, to do this communion. So why this one particular ceremony? Firstly, though, I want to put it in a little bit of context. Jewish custom, which of course they were Jews, was literally to break bread at the beginning of the main meal of the day. And whilst breaking the bread, they would recite this blessing. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. So breaking bread was a natural thing for them too. It's normal practice for disciples. It would not have been anything new for them. For the Jews, certainly then and nowadays, I believe as well, the breaking of bread had deep spiritual meanings. It was in their rituals and in their communal lives. But as with many Jewish rituals, Jesus gave it a modern meaning. Or in fact, if you look at it deeply enough, he gave it the meaning that it is always meant to have. And those of you who love delving into deep, meaningful things about the Bible, John chapter 13 so it sees Jesus washing his disciples' feet before communion. Don't worry, we're not doing that today. But that meant a huge thing in Jewish times. Not only the fact that he was, even though he was the master, it was a servant's job. But if you dig deep into it, I'm not going to go into it today, you'll find that washing was another big thing with breaking of bread. So that's a very short background to the communion ritual. So why did Jesus command us to take communion? Well, here's a few reasons. Firstly, as his word said, it is a reminder. I think Jesus knew that through the centuries and millennia, in fact, we might forget exactly why he came. It would get lost in a religion. And I think early on, the first 1,000 years or so, that did get a bit lost. We sort of lost our connection with Jesus and what he did for us. So in Luke 2 verse 19, Jesus says to do this in remembrance of him, to remember what he did. Every time we eat of the bread and we drink of the wine, we should be careful to remember him and his sacrifice. A few weeks ago, once again, we looked at what that sacrifice meant, what he'd achieved. We should not forget that. The forgiveness of sins and the opening of the gates of the kingdom is a huge thing, simply through communion. Secondly, we need to eat of Jesus' body and drink of his blood in order to gain life, in order to be saved. Eternal life with the Father. John 6, verse 53 says this. This is Jesus speaking. Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, personally, I do not believe we should understand that the bread and wine physically are his body, become his body and his blood, which I believe is a Catholic doctrine. They're only a symbol. They're only symbols. Symbols, what hopefully has already been done in our lives. We've already partaken of the body and blood through accepting Jesus as our Lord and becoming one of his followers. And that passage in John says that unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we have no life in us. We are dead. It also says by drinking and eating, we have eternal life. Not that we will have eternal life, but that we have eternal life. And this is the one great thing, is that I think sometimes we forget, we have eternal life now. I will live forever, from now. Maybe not, probably not in this body, in fact, pretty sure not in this body. This body will probably die at some point. But me, Barry, will live on forever. I have it now. I have the ticket. I'm not waiting to get it. So while it's not necessary to specifically take communion, it is necessary to take Jesus' body and blood in our lives. Another reason is it helps to build us up as a community. We do this as Christians. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us that the burgeoning Christian community broke bread together regularly. Now, of course, they would have been used to this as Jews, but there might have been lots of non-Jews there in that community, and they would have had a new meaning. Jesus gave it a new meaning. This is something that we do together as a church. Perhaps some of you do it together at home, I don't know.
Excuse me.
But this is what we do together as a church. It reminds us that we all believe in the same God. We all have the same law. We all have the same hope. And that we're all united in one spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 puts it this way. Make every effort, we can do it by having communion, to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, that's one church, and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called eternal life. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. There's only one. So today, this might scare some of you, we're going to take communion slightly differently. And I'll explain that after we've sung our next song. And could we bring the children back in again? So we go forward to our next song, Worthy is the Lamb.